You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch. On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are on the couch. Welcome, everyone. As always, so nice to have you here. This is the place where you can get some help, get yourself together a little bit more. A lot of great self-help going on here. And let me remind you that you and I do not have a therapeutic relationship. However, take notes, because I always provide you with information and amazing guests who can help you out in your life and figure out a lot of the issues that, you know, you're going through and things like that. And today, of course, is no exception. I have a few questions for you folks out there first, though. Why do we have so many problems with relationships? You know, working with folks who have relationship issues is my specialty. Yeah. But it's not about others. It's about us, within us. What's going on within us? Right? Low self-esteem, anxiety, sadness, and on and on. And I've discovered that many of our problems come from the same unresolved thoughts and feelings. I mean, I'm not going Freudian on you. Okay, let me just say this. But I mean, it's just, it's common research. It's common information. I see it and hear it every day and have for the last 15 years. And I've discovered that many of our problems come from the same thing, the messages we're given when we are young about who we are from others, whether it's our parents, caregivers, grandparents, siblings, whoever continue to imprint in our minds that, oh gosh, let's see, we aren't worthy, we're not lovable, we're not good enough, we're not smart enough, we're not attractive enough, they're a little too narcissistic, they have unresolved feelings, and they put it on us. So a lot of these messages profoundly shape the way that we perceive ourselves actually today. And it's so true. And I'm not talking about let's blame everyone else. No, I'm a big responsibility person as well. But we come into the world as little innocent beings, right? We're like sponges and we try to soak up knowledge about who we are to really find a place in the world and through our relationships. Wonder why the heck we're here, okay? But my guest today is J.D. Messenger, and he has some very interesting lessons and theories about how certain programs are created and imprinted in our minds, which can lead us to negative assumptions and generally mess with our lives. But J.D. has also gone a lot further to help us understand who we really are in his latest book, which we're talking about today. It's entitled 11 Days in May, The Conversation That Will Change Your Life. Now, what's so cool about this is that J.D. incorporates psychology, philosophy, physics, physiology, and theology, to name a few. And you know I love this stuff. I always incorporate this in my shows and my teachings as well. Now, let me tell you a little bit about this man, who is really a fascinating person because he's sort of a contradiction. Maybe. He's a distinguished graduate from Annapolis, a nuclear submarine officer. He was. Still has that in him. Advisor to Fortune 100 clients and governments. A former radio and TV producer and author of the book we're talking about today. So let's get into it. 11 Days in May. This is the conversation that will change your life, folks. J.D., thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, it's such an honor. I'm really tickled. I'm sitting here smiling, listening to, you know, what you're saying. I mean, you know, there's nothing new to be said or written that hasn't been said or written many times in many ways for all millennium.
Yes.
But you know, there are new ways of saying it.
Yeah.
That maybe get people's attention. So, yeah, the illusions, the programs, the imprint. So I loved what you said. We're going to have a great time.
We are. And you have, as most authors who are very successful, you have an incredible background. My gosh. What, you know, a scientist, a businessman, an Apple graduate, working for governments. I mean, what? Wow, this kind of Renaissance thing going on here, and yet you, you know, and yet you're very spiritual. You're very down to earth, physics and spiritual. So, you kind of really set out to help folks reading your book to answer some very deep questions that I think we all have, but we just sort of kind of skim over it and just continue with our daily lives. So. There were some events that led you to really help people in this book. And if you could share some of those things in your life that really unfolded to really make you say, I'm doing it. I'm writing this book. This is it. It's a journey. And I'm doing it.
Yeah. You know, we'll do this quickly. I have had an amazing life and it's nothing that I ever planned or constructed or designed. It sort of happened, and I think that's one of the secrets, a message for people is when you allow, when you let go, and you follow your heart, and that thing that makes you go thumpity-thump and get all excited, whatever that may be, that things turn out a lot better than you could ever imagine. And contrary, when you try to control it and you pursue position, power, stature, money, attachments, it goes sour. And that's one of the things I talk about in the book. But I as a nuclear submarine officer, I love the Navy, but I didn't like the nuclear weapons. And after 11 years, I said, you know, I can't push that button. And that's a major, it's like a major aha, you know, 11 years I dedicated. And then I joined Exxon, and I loved Exxon. It was a great company, one of the few companies that when I interviewed him said that, you know, we have a very strict, rigid, and ethics and integrity policy, which I reinforce that because they kind of have a bad name and people get shocked. But out of all the largest Fortune companies I interviewed with, they were the only one that said that. So I joined them, and I was there for 9 years, and then I saw and experienced the Valdez oil spill, and I supervised the Valdez oil spill cleanup. And I was like, you know, this is, you know, I can't do this anymore, you know?
Right.
You know?
That's tough.
And so another sort of major life experience. And then I became this consultant in Ernst & Young and climbed my way up to the top. And as you know, since we previously spoke, you know, the short version is I broke my neck and I died and I left my body and I went through a tunnel. And when I came back, I had a lot of very unusual experiences. I became fluent in Mandarin in 60 hours, and I watched my hand write, not knowing what was coming out of it. Yeah, I would just see.
Yeah.
And I had this experience I called the writing on the wall, W-O-W, where when I'm meditating, I can pray and ask a question, and I get an answer.
Yes.
And... you know, I had visions of a lot of terrible things years and years before they happened, terrorist activities and stuff. So this was driving me crazy. So this left brain nuclear engineer, advanced math major, guy who advises prime ministers and writes papers for presidents and stuff. I had a choice. I was either going to go crazy, kind of like the Russell Crowe in A Beautiful Mind, or you know, blow my brains out. I mean, I had to reconcile because I knew, you know, I knew I wasn't going crazy, but these things were not explained. These things were not talked about. These things were frowned upon. But the more I read, the more I researched, the more I discovered, you know, that these kinds of experience, the greatest painters, artists, mm-hmm. and inventors mm-hmm. that I research, they all right. had visions of future, you know, yes. things. I mean, Disney yes. saw Epcot in the ceiling. And
right. And they're not Peter psychotic. They're
no,
not psychotic.
You know, Peter Max told me, no. you know, the 1969 Love Poster guy, you know, he told me when I met him, if you watched him painting, he didn't know what his hand was doing. And I was like, yes, okay, I'm not crazy. This is
exactly.
this happens to other people.
Exactly.
And one of the most amazing things, and I'll stop there, is that my neck, which had been broken mm-hmm. and had bone was taken out of my hip
God.
And my neck was fused together,
yeah.
solid bone,
yeah.
My vertebrae regenerated.
Yes.
So
that's wonderful.
So those were the things that set me on the journey.
Yes, that's some heavy stuff. So do you think, you know, and I have had a lot of people, by the way, authors, who like the neurosurgeon, who said, yes, there is an afterlife. I've been there. And Mary Jo Rapini, who is a renowned therapist in the Midwest, she's on Fox News out there, she has come out and finally said, when I had a stroke, I died. And I am happy to tell you all about what it looked like, and it changed my life. So your touch with this other dimension on the other side, do you believe that experiencing that gave you all of these capabilities, or whatever was there said, I'm bringing you back, and you can share this information?
Yeah, I'm kind of laughing, okay?
Okay.
It's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
I am honored to say I have 4 world-first innovations to my name, including the 11 Days in May ebook, which won the Publishing Industry Innovation of the Year
Good
Award
for
being a world's first, and we'll skip the details. But the old me, before I was consciously aware that I am energy, which is photons, and light, I am a light being.
Mm-hmm.
I live in the world of light. Death is not the end.
Mm-hmm.
Knowledge doesn't reside in my head. Mm-hmm. I am a sender and receiver of information mm-hmm. and thoughts. Mm-hmm. So the old me would have thought that those were my ideas and my inventions, and I just laugh, okay?
Yeah.
Because now I realize they weren't my ideas,
yes.
you know?
Yes.
I was tapping in. These are gifts.
Yes.
These are blessings. This
yes.
is part of my spiritual, you know, DNA is I'm an inventor and a creator, and I get these insights.
Yes.
And so the death experience or near-death experience, and I've actually had several, you know, many, many people that told me, you know, you were saved by an angel, or total strangers
yes.
coming up to me on the street and in shops or
yes.
at the yoga class or people
right.
don't even know me saying,
right.
did you know you nearly died? Yes. Did you know you were saved by an angel? Thank you. You know,
I was like... right. You're going, okay.
So, you know, so the scientist, left brain math major guy's
yes.
like, okay, look, I need to know how this works because
right.
this is not an accident. There are no coincidences.
Mm-hmm.
And so I agree with that lady and you know, all the other scientists, Eben Alexander, you know, death is
yes.
not the end. And,
yes.
and you know, we are here to learn lessons and to grow and evolve and, you know, learn love and tolerance and patience and
yes.
forgiveness and,
yes.
you know, the virtues. And
yes.
That's our journey.
Boy, I agree. And now, let me just throw this in. I know this wasn't planned. Do you believe in karma? Do we have to come back, you know, on the wheel again and work things
yeah,
out?
Yeah, no, I absolutely do.
Okay.
Everything I say, Michelle, I say from personal, direct experience.
Okay.
Being this kind of person that I am, I don't come up with theories or
yeah.
hypotheses or,
yeah.
you know, what I am saying is from direct personal experience.
Okay.
And from direct personal experience, I have experienced many past lives.
Wow.
And,
mm-hmm.
okay, you know, in vision forms and hypnosis and
right.
regression.
Sure.
But then that sounds interesting, but I have to triangulate everything.
Yes.
And by triangulation, I mean, okay, if I have what some might call a metaphysical phenomenon,
mm-hmm.
I got to do the research
mm-hmm.
and the physical.
Sure.
And I confirm things over and over again in this physical life.
Yes.
And there's a story in the book, which, you know, we probably don't have time to share, but it's a fabulous story about a past life reading that I had.
Mm-hmm.
And then I subsequently experienced that in this lifetime, which I calculated the probability. It's like over 1 in a billion that the things that happened in this lifetime.
Yes.
And it was a reflection of what I was just told.
My
and
God.
Those things happen again and again and
right.
again.
Is something that I've been asked by folks is, I believe in karma as well. However, I have a problem. Is it a cruel joke to be put on this earth and then have continual things happen to you that you can't explain? Like you broke your neck. You know, you have accidents. Just
well,
it was
I think,
timing.
You
it
know,
was evil. Is this a joke? Is God going, ha ha, you've got to pay your repentance?
It's not a joke, but it's the devious nature of the way I think, you know, the divine or the universal mind, God, you know, whatever mm-hmm. source, whatever mm-hmm. name you want to label, put
yeah.
on this supreme source.
Yeah.
And that is one of the parables in the book is what is devious. And the
mm-hmm.
devious nature of evolution and humans is that, you know, we only learn and grow out of necessity. We
yes.
will always seek the lowest level of energy exertion. If, you know, if somebody's going to give us money, we won't work. If somebody's going to bring food to us, we'll just sit there. We won't make it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's only out of necessity.
Yes. Yes.
That we get ourselves going and kick ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the parable in the book, which is 36 short parables for
yes.
the readers,
mm-hmm.
All written in 11 days in May of 2012, that's
mm-hmm.
where the title comes
yep.
from, is that if you pray for courage, you better be prepared for your greatest fear.
Oh, geez.
Because God doesn't
right.
have pixie dust and can't sprinkle us with courage. The way we become courageous
mm-hmm.
is by facing our fears.
Right.
So it is sort of a sick joke, and in my research, because you know, I would do 5,000 studies.
Yes.
You know, I mean that kind of.
Right.
You know, I surveyed 5,000 people in past lives,
yes.
and with a numerology report, which I now use in coaching, which is on my website at jdmessenger.com under shop and services. But
cool.
What I discovered using this numerology program, which gives a person a 100-page report, I mean, we were blown away. 98% of the people were blown away by the fact that nothing but their name and their birth date defines their motivation, their crisis, their cycles, and all that. I mean,
wow.
How could that be? It's not an accident.
Right.
So...
Yes.
What I discovered, the last thing I'll say, is that the sexually abused little girl became a sexual therapist.
Mm-hmm.
The homeless child became a builder. The
mm-hmm.
overweight young girl became a dietitian.
Mm-hmm.
And the left-brain nuclear engineer math major became a spiritual guy.
That's right.
You know?
Yes, exactly.
So our pain
Beautiful.
Is our purpose. And I don't
yes.
mean our pain. But that thing that we are suffering over...
Yeah. Yeah.
Is actually something that we, as you pointed out, why do we keep doing the same thing again and again and again? Well, we're not learning the lesson.
Yeah.
The thing that's causing us the pain, we're supposed to resolve and fix, and then we become an expert at it,
right.
and then we're supposed to be a teacher.
Exactly. Right. Not. <Yeah. laughs> Not always.
Hey, can I offer your listeners a 50% off coupon on my... We were talking about my
yes,
website.
Yes, we were talking about that.
Remembered.
Oops, excuse me.
Yeah,
let's
I've
do it.
I've got a 50% off. If you want to buy the book from my website
yeah.
instead of Amazon or something, just,
cool.
you know, you go to the shopping cart, click on the book, and the code is Friends of JD, FRIENDS of JD.
Great.
And you
That's
put that
idea.
In and you'll get a 50% off on the hardcover.
Sounds like a good deal to me. And it's a great read, by the way. It's very, it is simple and it does, you know, tell the story of the 11 days in May that you sat down in the log cabin and unfolded with a mysterious friend. Actually, you were connecting with your higher self, is what you told me, right? As we can see.
Yeah.
It was almost
yeah.
through automatic or, and I hate to use, you know, the word channel because everybody abuses that these days. It's, you know, I'm channeling an alien from the Pleiades, you know, that kind of thing. A lot of people just abuse that. But not to say there aren't folks who do that for real, but. So you talk about 11 parables that you ask to get the answers, these deep answers. And by the way, folks, if you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, you are on the couch with Dr. Michelle. And we're talking today about some really deep, important things with my guest, J.D. Messenger. The book's called 11 Days in May, The Conversation That Will Change Your Life. So some of the parables were, you were asking inspiration. What are thoughts, intentions? What's pain, suffering, programs, values? What are coincidences? What are souls? What's matter about purpose, love, war, form, reality, science, religion? All of these questions that we ask when we're in a deeper level, when we allow ourselves to do that, are being answered sort of through your connection with this higher power, I guess, shall we say, JD, whatever you prefer to call it. But
I would call it the source of all
source
knowledge and inspiration.
I think
it's a spoiler for the listeners, you know, because it actually is very useful for the readers. A lot of people who don't know who my friend is, after they read it once, then they want to go back and read it the second time. It's kind of like after you know the end of the movie, you're like, okay, now I want to see what happened again. So they do find it.
Yes.
So cover your ears for 5 seconds if you don't want to hear this, okay?
That's right.
But, you know, when I wrote this, and I did not know what I was writing. You know, I wrote for 11 days straight, and when I was done, my wife said, "What are you doing?" And I said, I don't know. I think I may have written a book.
Wow.
And she said, "What's it about?" And I said, "I don't know. I haven't read it yet." So, I mean, I literally,
yes.
Michelle, honest to God, you know, I didn't know more than 5 words at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea where it was going. As these parables were being written and I was just typing it through me, I did not know where this was going.
Right.
I couldn't believe the things that were coming out. And I just shut my mind off and just kept typing the words that I saw or was inspired to write.
Yes.
And so I thought it was God.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, no, must not be God. It's my soul.
Mm-hmm.
And but then I realized, you know, I am a part of God, and God is a part of me, and I believe that is our soul. So I don't really make a distinction between my friend being me or my soul or God. I think we are all one.
Yes, I agree with you. Talking about your help psychologically to a lot of readers as well, you are discussing Bill McKenna's book. It's called The Only Thing.
Yeah.
And you talked about how you learned how the opposite of love was fear. And
that's a
cool twist, man. You then wrote down a list of your fears about writing your own story, you know, that shared in your book. And, you know, this is one of the, of course, exercises that I give clients to do. It's a great exercise to try and identify what do we fear. Put it down on paper. Look at it. And then what do you learn about what is the common theme here? What did you learn about your fears?
They were all about me. They were all about my job, my title, my reputation, my income, my stature.
Mm.
And, that's all the ego. That's all attachments.
Mm-hmm.
From reading this book and you know, Bill McKenna, I ran into this guy at a conference 2 years ago, and I didn't know who he was, but he came up to me and he said, "You got to read my book. My guides are telling me you got to read my book." And so I took the book and, you know, I read it, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, such a blessing." So wherever Bill is, shout out to you. Thank you for giving me that
Bill.
Book. And, but it's the opposite is love. And, you know, when I thought about what I love knowledge and wisdom. I love helping people. I love, you know, joking, and I love playing, and, you know, I love adventure and excitement and making a difference.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, the energy it totally shifts. You instead of, like, you know, feeling bad, you're energized, and you get healthy, and you're inspired. And, you know, I actually stood up from my chair and I started talking here. I'm walking around the room, swinging my arms.
Yeah, good.
You know?
Exactly.
And that's this thing we call love, you know?
Right.
This passion, this inspiration, this thing that gives us joy and happiness.
Yes.
And that's what we're supposed to do. And so once I realized that, I was like, oh my gosh, I, I've got to tell my story.
Yes.
I've got to tell the truth.
Good for
about
you, man.
This.
Yes. Yeah. This is what I experienced, and good for you. And I totally agree with you as well. And the way you put it is terrific. At the very beginning of the show, JD, you talked about we must allow. And that's so Zen of you. But it's true. We must allow things to just flow through, allow experience, move on. Bounce. One of my things in my hypnotherapy sessions is let it bounce off and away from you. Bounce off and away from you. And
yeah.
So when we have these energy shifts, we're in joy. We're enjoying what we love. We have excitement. Our whole energy shifts. And that, of course, creates help to other people. When you do help other people with your books and your speeches and all the work you've been doing, and it, you know, as they say, find your highest passion. And
so then
I think
we have to go. We have to go and say, but why? Why isn't it? I mean, why? As you pointed out, why do we say the same things? Keep talking about the illusions. Keep talking about the attachments.
Yeah.
You know, what's the problem? You know,
yeah.
Why is it so hard? Yeah. That's I've concluded it's
yes.
because of programs and illusions.
Yes.
And it keeps getting perpetuated by society. I mean, you know, we're told that we're consumers and that you got to take the pill to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all these things that society is constantly bombarding us with, trillions of electrons
yeah.
every minute.
Yeah.
That it's all about attachments and
yeah,
stuff.
Right.
And so our mind, being this program, we've got to learn how to shield ourselves and protect our mind.
Yes, it's so true. And repetitions of feelings and negativity and attachments and all that, of the neurons that, you know, they fire together, they wire together. And we're building
right.
more of the neural patterns to reaffirm our belief systems, which are negative, or reaffirm our fears, which, you know, continually cause this this way of thinking that blocks our ability to really just let it flow and allow. And it really, this is something I see every day with clients.
Well, I don't know what you think. It's
yeah.
a question for you.
Okay.
I mean, I'll make the statement, which is really a question. But what I've observed trying to, you know, coach people and help
right.
people, you know, and I'm not a psychologist or, you know, I don't have a PhD in any of those kinds of things. But it seems to me that the smarter people are,
mm-hmm.
the higher their IQ, the more ologies they've got, the harder it is for them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Have you experienced that?
I don't know about my IQ, but personally, but in terms of patients, yes, yes. And I think what a lot of patients do who have a difficult time, they're always analyzing. They're
right.
very left
they're thinking.
There you go, Mr. You know, nuclear submarine.
That's right.
Engineer.
I mean, that's what I did for
analyzing,
12 years. Think,
analyzing.
Think, 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 think.
That's right. You're analyzing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
And, yeah, I'm a very analytical person, and I have to stop myself and say, hold on, just be in the moment. And something you touched on, I just took a quick note, and I want to move on to the other questions that we talked about earlier, is the concept of love, okay? And I know we were going to get into that. I just wanted to jump on that.
Mm-hmm.
The opposite of love is fear, and we talked about that. How can we love others unconditionally? How can we train ourselves to lose the ego and just love those people around us in our families or in our work environment who are rather self-destructive, very angry, very dramatic? How can we just not get our egos involved and just love others who drive us bonkers sometimes?
You know, the short answer is by being compassionate and tolerant mm-hmm. and patient and showing gratitude and you know, seeing ourselves in them.
Yeah.
Because they're sort of a microcosm, and realizing that whenever someone is having an emotion, you know, whether it's anger, hatred, or jealousy or something, the fact is, and you said this right in the beginning, it's not about the person or object that they're attacking. It's mm-hmm. about them.
Yes.
It's something inside them
yeah.
which is causing that emotion. And so that's the short answer.
Yeah.
The longer explanation is what I discovered is the first thing you got to do is you got to love yourself. And you got to forgive yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And you got to be compassionate and tolerant and patient with yourself.
Yes.
And that's really hard to do.
Yes. Yep.
But once you start doing that, then you begin to have the aha, the recognition that you see others' anger and suffering and realize there's a pain inside them because you got rid of it inside of yourself.
Yes, yes. And it's interesting because a discussion that I have had with a lot of psychologists and other types of therapists is how do we best just allow and love and not take on? And exactly what you said is most of the folks who are successful in doing that understand that they have to forgive themselves no matter what. And this is leading me, I promise, into the next question. But we have to be compassionate, forget self-forgiveness, self-love, or just self-really like. Because when we see that person that comes in and is so damaged and so hurt, we automatically are able to be that little person remembering when we were in the corner weeping, wondering how to get out of this horrible situation in our lives. We become that and we say, damn, you know, I love you so much because I know you can overcome this because I did. And I know, you know, so there is an ego component to that, actually, but...
I want to reinforce something you just said.
Okay.
In the corner weeping.
Yeah.
As I was going through my 12-year journey from the time between 2000 and 2012, when I broke my neck, and then when the book was written, I was on a couch or in a corner... or in a healing session, weeping and bawling my eyes out like a baby many, many times.
Good for you.
When I discovered that, you know, I thought I wasn't loved by my parents, or, you know, the stories are great, so I'm trying to keep it short, but I just wanted to reinforce that... that yeah, you do. If you haven't weeped and bawled your eyes out, then you probably didn't go deep enough and find the source, the root of the issue.
Yeah.
And once you do, it's stored in 100 million or trillion cells. It's in every cell of your body, and it's hard to get out. And that weeping process, like, flushes it out.
I agree.
And you know it's really gone. So it's deep. These things are deep.
Yes. You know, it is the water, the tears, it's cleansing. We need to cleanse. We need to cleanse. We need to get it out. And you talk about, in your book, 11 Days in May, you talk about the programs, as you call them, that we receive from our early upbringing. And so as children, all the way back from our birth, we're all programmed to think and believe in certain ways. So can you elaborate more on this and why these beliefs are harmful to us?
Well, you know, one of the simple ones explained in the book was about Mary and Joanna cooking a pot roast. And Mary tells Joanna to cut the ends off of the pot roast before she puts it in. And she says, why should I cut the ends off of perfectly good meat? And Mary says, because that's what my, you know, mother taught me. So Joanna says, well, call up your mom and ask her why. This is dumb.
Yeah.
And she says, her mom says, well, I don't know, your mother, your grandmother taught me, ask her. So so Mary calls up Grandma and says, why are we cutting the ends off the pot roast? And Grandma goes, you're cutting the ends off of perfectly good meat? I don't know why you're doing it, but I had a small pot.
Oh, that's cute. That's a great story. That is a great story.
And it's, you know, actually, someone said that to me, and those weren't the real person's name, names, but the... that's so true. Now, that is an outdated program, something that maybe made sense at one point in time, but now it no longer does. Now, let me give you a really deep, big, heavy one, which is a faulty program. Women can't be priests. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. I've dug deep into this. It's for some reason it's a very passionate subject of mine.
Yes.
And I recently this week met someone who had been sexually molested by a priest and told me their story, and it was just horrible.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when I asked, you know, priests, why can't a woman be a priest? I finally got to one person who said, well, you know, God talked to Jesus, and, you know, I said, yeah, well, you know, Jesus is a man. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Are you telling me that you don't think women are divine? Well, I didn't say that. I said, yeah, no, yes, you did. You just said because God talked to Jesus, Jesus is a man. God doesn't talk to women, therefore women aren't divine and women can't be a priest. This is a huge faulty belief that has been perpetuated for thousands of years, which results in, you know, priests not being able not to get married, not enough priests, not family priests, and the dysfunctional behavior. I mean, I think this is a, I call all these programs flops, faulty, limited, and outdated programs. So
I
the
like
pot
it.
Was an outdated program, and this is a faulty program.
Yes, it sure is. And
they're stored in us.
Yes, they are.
They're stored. We don't even question that.
Right, right.
You see, just like Joanna questioned, why are you cutting the ends off?
Yes.
You know, one of the things that has made me successful in my life is this questioning mindset. I want to know why.
Exactly.
I mean, when I was 8 years old, I took the telephone apart after my mom was talking to Aunt Mary 500 miles away.
Right.
And the thing's laying there on the table in pieces, and, you know, Mom took the wooden spoon out, and I got in trouble.
But
I've always, I want to know why.
Yes, exactly.
I want to know why. Why do we, these things happen?
Exactly.
And so, you know, we got to get rid of these illusions and these flops, these faulty and outdated programs.
Exactly.
Because they're a source of suffering.
That's right, they are. And it's just possibly just too comfortable. And again, I think in some way they're addictions. You know, they're neurological patterns, and they're just repeat, repeat. We're like robots, you know.
They are absolutely addictions, and we are a robot. Mm-hmm. And therein lies the challenge is that, you know, for everyone who's done the work that we're talking about, it's a lot of hard work.
Yes.
It takes, it's actually very simple. If you could just let your mind go.
Yes.
Okay, but we can't let our mind go, so it ends up being hard, and it's just a battle inside. Mm-hmm. But it's easier to, it's like Cypher in the Matrix. Remember Neo in the Matrix and Trinity and Cypher? Cypher, he couldn't deal with it, you know?
Right.
I don't like this reality. Give me, you know, what, put me back in the Matrix where I can live in ignorance.
That's right.
It's easier.
Right.
I want the steak.
Yes.
You know?
Exactly.
So that's, that's why we don't do it.
That's so true. It's that's a great analogy. I love those series of movies. I know they're corny. I know, but
I don't think they're corny.
There's a lot of truth.
They're incredibly profound.
Yes, they are. They are. Speaking about profound, if you just tuned in here to The Couch with Dr. Michelle, my special guest today is J.D. Messinger. He's the author of, that's his real name, folks. He's the author of the book 11 Days in May, The Conversation That Will Change Your Life. And it's a great read. J.D. incorporates psychology, philosophy, and physics, physiology, theology, to name a few, to really help you understand the deeper questions and possibly help you realize who you are and why you were put here. And, you know, pain, suffering, coincidence, souls, afterlife, really? Love, war, what's all this about? Come on now. And this is a really helpful, wonderful book. And even if you have certain religious belief systems, it will not interfere. Open up your mind a little bit. Open up your mind and allow yourself to just take in a lot of the messages that are given here. Because just open up and allow, because it'll help you out a lot. We're going to move on to, you know, talking about living in the form of the world. You know, we have form, and we have light. We have matter, we have light. We have the unseen around us in physics that we're not aware of. But there is the light. And I think the light is associated with a more spiritual or positive place. You talk about living in both of these worlds. So how can we live in both of these worlds, and why is that important?
Well, you know, a lot of people think that life is a duality, meaning I'm alive right now, and then I die, and I go to heaven or hell or mm-hmm. purgatory or something like that, you know, that there's an afterlife. And I don't believe that because of the research and the experiences, meaning that life, what I'm saying I don't believe in is that life is a duality. It is a non-duality. When I stack up all of the research or experience and phenomenon from going through a tunnel, past life experiences, coincidences not being an accident but mm-hmm. being a synchronicity, yes. thoughts transcending time and space, matter being able to be manipulated by thoughts. You know, Einstein said when we think about things, the things we think about change.
Yes.
That wasn't a philosophical statement.
Yes.
He was talking about how our thoughts
yes.
change subatomic matter.
Yes.
Now, so when you put all of these things together, you get a mosaic.
Mm-hmm.
And that mosaic, the result of that mosaic, there is only one inevitable, obvious conclusion to this writer, researcher, mm-hmm. analyst, nuclear engineer,
yep.
and that is that, okay, I'm in form. I am energy.
Yeah.
I'm nothing but energy.
That's right.
And that energy is held together by binding forces.
Mm-hmm.
And those are all photons.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's right.
It's not really solid. Kind of solid is sort of like a word we use to describe like things held together. So this illusion that
right.
things are solid,
that's right.
you know, we break things apart all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I am energy, which is photons, which is light.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore I am a light being,
mm-hmm.
and I am in a form or a shape, but everything exists within the world of light.
Yes.
You think everything around us
yeah.
is the world of light. Everything comes, the trees, the food, the, you
yes.
know, everything is this energy.
Mm-hmm.
And we're only seeing 1% of the energy spectrum, which is visible light.
Right.
Meaning, you know, if there were 880 piano keys, 10 pianos lined up end to end,
yes.
10 pianos, 880
yep.
keys,
yep.
we're only seeing 8 keys.
Mm, my God. Yes.
To put that in perspective,
yes.
right? So
yes.
so the other 99%, the other 872 keys of reality,
mm-hmm.
we're not seeing.
Yep.
But yet we know it's there. I mean, look at emails and Word documents.
Right.
There's trillions
yeah.
of them flying
yeah.
around us.
Right.
Every television show is flying around us. Is
yes.
that part of reality?
Mm.
Well, I think so.
I think so.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
What about emotions?
Right.
Love? Can you see love?
No.
You know, these are all energy forms.
That's
so,
right.
So you can't separate.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If you can't separate that energy that is me, that sunlight that is the energy in the food, which is the energy in my bodies,
yes.
then, you know, this idea that we're separate is an illusion.
Yes, it really is. And I think a lot more people can learn these things. And it doesn't threaten your religion, per se, if they read physics, you know, if they read about photons, if they read about, you know, what we are made up of and what we only can perceive because, well, I guess it's just survival of the human species. That's what we're allowed to see, and that's how we continue to live. But if you open yourself up and really go deeper, you are exposed. And, of course, if you're a nuclear scientist like yourself, you get to see all those cool things in your experiments.
There's a quote in the front of the book, if I could jump in.
Yeah.
It says, I want to know God's thoughts, the rest are details.
Oh,
and that's
yeah.
a quote from Einstein. And
oh,
it's,
yeah.
It was a poster that hung on my wall for 10 years.
Mm.
And so in my thinking, I was thinking, you know, I want to understand who I am,
yes.
why I'm here, where I came from, where I'm going, from a point in space or from God's point of view. You know, think
yes.
pick whichever way you want to look at
right,
it. I
right.
think of it from God's point of view.
Right.
I want to know what God would think and what mm-hmm. God would do and what God would say.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that completely consistent with science.
Yes.
Because I think God's the greatest scientist. And
yes.
I don't think God has a physical body other than us. We
That's
are
right.
a part of that divine.
Yes,
so,
yes.
So when you look at it from that point of view, and another way to say it is I am a gnat on a planet which is a gnat in a galaxy, which is a gnat in a solar system, which is a gnat in the universe. You know, we are a gnat on a gnat on a gnat on a gnat on a gnat. I mean, we are really, really small, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So if you look at it from that point of view, you know, what would this divine supreme source say about religions? I think they would say that everything we are talking about energy and light and souls and afterlife is pretty much consistent with every major religion.
Yes.
The only where it starts to get different, where we humans start to make it different, is where some person comes along and comes up with their own policies and procedures, which is based on fear and control and attachment and greed and money. And that's what creates the source of, you know, all these religious wars, in my opinion.
Oh, I agree. And you answered one of my questions, which is just perfect. And I totally agree with you. And it's, you know, and when is it going to happen? When a certain religious sects or fanaticists lose their ego and don't have to fight to say, we are, you know, you're all infidels. Yeah, we have the only God that is right, and you know, vice versa. It's like, please.
If you were in a church, and I go to, you know, I grew up as a Roman Catholic, and I was the lay minister on the submarine. But I lived in Asia for 8 years. I got dear friends who are Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists and Taoists, and I love the Unity churches and spiritual New Thought centers. You know, I go around to all these places, and forget the brand name on the door or the temple or the church. And just ask yourself, is this person motivating me out of fear and control and manipulation, blame and guilt? Is this person or theology promoting love and joy and compassion and peace and tolerance?
Yes, you know? Exactly. That's right.
You know, that's the difference between the way the divine thinks and the way a person trapped in their mind thinks.
That's exactly right. No fear, no control, and all that. JD, we're running out of time here. I want to let listeners know that they can pick up your book for 50% off on your website. Can you give that to the listeners, please?
Yeah, jdmessenger.com. Just click on the shop and buy the hardcover. Put in the coupon code FRIENDS OF JD, and you'll get 50% off.
Right, and listeners can also find out more about you and your experiences and everything on the website as well. So the show will be up for replay and reruns tomorrow, folks. Also, all my shows are on iTunes and the TalkTube. I can't say that very quickly. TalkTube format. As well. So if you missed if you missed a couple of you know, moments that you don't want to in the show, you can replay it tomorrow with all the content and also how to get hold of JD's book as well. JD Messenger, thank you so much. As always, a wonderful guest. Terrific to have you.
Thank you, Michelle. Yeah, it was great. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Well, you're so welcome. Keep in touch, and we'll talk soon.
Okay.
All right.
God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Bye-bye now. Yeah, again, that's J.D. Messenger, of course. He is the author of the book 11 Days in May, The Conversation That Really Will Change Your Life. It really will. Read it. Get through it. It's easy reading. It's very comfortable, and give you things to think about and hopefully motivate you to change your life as well. All right, this is Dr. Michelle. Stepping off the couch, you can stay if you'd like. And as I always say, do take care of yourself first. See, then you'll be great for others, and that's the way it works in life. It's all about love, first, and then to others. Talk to you next week. Another great author coming up, self-help information on really, well, I'm going to surprise you, but it's going to help you feel much better about you and your life. Have a great one. Bye-bye. God.